Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday morning for our sermon. I am joined this morning by Professor Pastor Paul Wallace, my colleague here at First Baptist. I'm so thankful that he is sharing with me in our sermon today. We both have been participating in what we've been calling A Tale or Tales from the Dark Side. And we started with this, the third chapter of John. We've moved through the story of Nicodemus, and that has been coupled with the devotionals that I've been sharing each day, so that not only have we had two sermons on this very important chapter, but we've also had now six different devotional perspectives on this movement in the direction of what we're going to be covering today, which is John 3:16. The culmination of this encounter with Jesus that Nicodemus has really moves to this great crescendo, this place of a verse that most of us grew up with, learning and being comforted by. So we're going to talk about John 3:16 in just a moment. But first, I want to just tell all of you that we know that this is a very difficult time. And Paul and I are very aware of many of you that we've been talking to through the week and are aware of the anxieties that we also share, the concern about our city, our country, the world, the friends around us, our families. We all are very concerned. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how long this health crisis is going to last. What we do know is that we're in this together. We do know that we're connected, thankfully, by telephone, by media, by times like this where we can share our thoughts and our hearts and scripture and words of comfort and sermons, Bible studies. We want to do our best to remain connected to you. We are praying for you. We hope that you will be praying for us. We all want this to end quickly and end well, but we, in the meantime, want to support each other. I'm so grateful for the many of you who have lent your voices and offered your perspectives on what we're trying to do and giving us advice. There is a Facebook group right now that is actively sharing scriptures and songs and thoughts of a devotional nature in support of one another. I invite you to participate in that, the First Baptist Decatur Facebook group. Well, let's begin our time together with Paul, and I'd like to start by simply reading John 3:16, and then we're going to share some different perspectives on this third chapter of John, review a little bit about where we've been, and then talk about the context and the importance of this incredible verse, John 3:16. Here are those words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, Paul, let's start out with just a reference to your Bible study from this past Wednesday evening, which I really enjoyed. I know a number of others did.
Thank you.
But you began by, it was on Psalm 23, and you had the same hesitancy in reading Psalm 23 from the New Revised Standard Version
than
I have reading John 3:16, because I learned this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I love that rendition from the King James.
KJV.
And you said the same thing about Psalm 23.
Yeah,
and
how exactly right.
It just doesn't quite work.
And this verse also is in my head in the King James.
Well, sure. I think that's true with all of us. As kids, many of us grew up with these two verses, Psalm 23 and John 3:16. But let's start with just sort of the setting. 2 weeks ago, you gave a sermon from John chapter 3, and it was our first part of A Tale from the Dark Side, part one. Mm-hmm. And you kind of gave this introduction to Nicodemus and this encounter with Jesus at a particular time of day.
So that's right.
Talk a little bit about where you began us.
That's right. Well, this, as many of you will remember, Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. And to connect it to what David just said, I think of John 3:16 as the little light that shines in the darkness of that night. But what I wanted to emphasize was the context, not so much the light, but the darkness in my sermon of 2 weeks ago. And I've always found it fascinating that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And in my sermon, I really mentioned three things about that. First thing I mentioned was that, why did John do this, right? Why did John put Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night? Why did it happen that way? The first answer is that Nicodemus wanted to save face. He didn't want maybe his peers in the Sanhedrin, which is the great, you know, religious council in Jerusalem, he didn't want his peers to know that he was going up to this rabble-rousing sort of itinerant preacher, populist preacher. Maybe he wanted to keep himself hidden and not reveal that he was talking to Jesus. That's one possibility. The other layer of that is that John clearly uses light and dark all throughout his gospel. And darkness symbolizes, you know, ignorance, spiritual death. But in this case, I think John is using the darkness to indicate Nicodemus's ignorance. He just doesn't know. And he doesn't get it. Remember, he asked Jesus, Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born from above. You must be born again. And Nicodemus says, how is this possible? Can I re-enter my mother's womb? And all this kind of crazy, kind of literal thinking. Clearly, Nicodemus is ignorant and doesn't understand Jesus's point. And maybe Nicodemus also doesn't really know how to think figuratively. I don't know. But he's clearly ignorant of what Jesus is really trying to do. And so John uses the darkness to indicate the ignorance. But I went on in my sermon, and what I felt like I added to that was that the darkness is not just about ignorance. My own experience as an astronomy professor, as somebody who spends a lot of time outside at night, I find two things to be true about being outside in the dark at night. One thing is that if you have too many lights, if you have a light on, you can't see anything. That is paradoxical, of course. If you have a flashlight and you're walking in the woods, all you see is a little circle of light right in front of you. But if you turn your light off and let the ambient light, the very dim light of the stars, of the moon, a nearby town light your way, then you can begin to see things. So sometimes when you turn the light on, you can't see anything. In other words, sometimes you can see things in the dark that you simply cannot see in the light. Darkness has things to tell us. It has a gift to give, but you can't know it until you're in the darkness.
So let me interject with
sure.
Just a second with that. And I think there may be some thinking like I am with that moment, that this is a dark time. I mean, we're struggling. Mm. I just had a conversation with a couple people before we started, really concerned about their economic viability. How are they going to pay their bills? And this feels like, for many people, this is a scary time. It's a dark time. And what you just said, for me, offers a little glimmer of hope, in the sense that Nicodemus is searching, wondering, he's in the dark, and yet there is this new ability to start to see something more. And
right.
So I think that's really a poignant lesson for right now, that, okay, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm really struggling, but in the darkness, I like the ambient light. There are these little possibilities out there that maybe in the deep darkness we...
Right, and you don't know they're there until you're in the deep darkness.
Yeah.
You don't even realize they're there.
Okay, so sorry to interrupt.
That's fine.
That really felt like a moment we needed to capture.
Well, the second point is related to that, and that is that when lights are out, I have found, mostly at the observatory where we had these star parties, for 10 years I did this, when lights are out, people will say things that they won't say in the glare of day. They just want, there's a level of intimacy that you reach much more quickly when you're in the dark.
I think you even talked about it at one point casually with me. It's when you pull out the hot chocolate and you start sharing stories that you wouldn't normally say.
I mean, and in some ways, this is happening in my house these days because I've got these two college-age kids. I've got Kristen, and they're always busy. They're always out of the house. But this last week, we've had like three meals together.
Yeah.
We've played games together. We've watched movies together.
Yeah.
And it's like we're on vacation. I hate to say that. Yeah. It sounds terrible because our 401ks are tanking.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're all anxious. But there is this thing that happens in the dark.
Yeah.
This level of intimacy and connection that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
When things are sunny.
Well, if nothing else, it certainly brings a new perspective of things. What is really important? What is it that really matters? And it feels like Nicodemus kind of is at this point where all the cool stuff that, and I've touched on this in a couple of the devotionals for this week, that here's a guy who really is at the pinnacle of his career. I mean, he's a leader of the Jews, he's not just a Pharisee, but he's a clear leader, and he's sort of reached that place where most people would have said, oh man, I got it.
Yeah.
And yet it seems pretty clear the way this is moving that no, he's reached a place that's not satisfying.
Right.
Something
about Jesus is bugging him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I referenced this in one of the devotionals too, that a guy in my church at one point talked about how he had spent his entire adult career climbing the ladder of success, only to find out that his ladder had been leaned against the wrong wall. And it was completely... And I sort of feel this with Nicodemus, that it is this desperate climb for something he thought was important, only to find out that it's totally unsatisfactory. Yeah. So let's move from that. And this is what kind of helps us on the pilgrimage toward John 3:16. And part of what you move us into, Paul, is where I picked up on with Nicodemus, this guy who's in the dark, he's with Jesus, he's asking these questions, he's not understanding when Jesus gives responses. And in my sermon last week, I just said he's really... the way John moves this is he's on this trajectory. In the third chapter, picking up on your sermon, he has a curious faith. And then we find out that John very subtly moves him back into the narrative in the seventh chapter of John. Mm-hmm. And in that chapter, we find out that he has a growing faith, that he actually is... what happened in the third chapter, though unresolved there, the seventh chapter, there seems to be movement towards a resolution, and that he seems to have a little more strength of character in not openly saying that he's following
Jesus. He's a great character, isn't he?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Comes in and out like that.
And then the final subtlety that becomes much less subtle by the 19th chapter is that he seems to have a living faith, in the sense that he goes to Pontius Pilate and asks for Jesus' body, but also he has this huge... some versions say 100 pounds of spices that he's brought
Jesus'
body. And so this seems to be John's way of indicating, here's a guy who got it right. Mm-hmm. He figured it out. Mm-hmm. So that moves us then from this third chapter into this place that we grow up with, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And for me, this feels like a very important verse right now. I think on your Wednesday night Bible study, Psalm 23, it was such an important verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I mean, that really hits us where we are right now. But John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And I love that emphasis, God so loved the world. And so let's talk for a second about this dynamic that now, from the encounter with Jesus at night, Nicodemus kind of drops off the radar screen by the time we hear these words.
Right.
But what happens now is Nicodemus isn't the audience, we're the audience. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I love that word everlasting also, as opposed to eternal. In the NRSV, everlasting from King James just sings somehow.
Yeah.
But let's talk for a second. By the way, Paul has a great book, Love and Quasars, that just came out. So I'm going to give you a good shout on that.
Thank you for that.
But you talk about, in the title, Love and Quasars, and it's a book about basically your journey of faith. And this idea, the dialogue, the interaction between faith and science. But the fact that love and quasars, love is in the title, and love is central to this verse, for God so loved the world. This is a big, really big verse. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about your perspective on how this works. Maybe for you as a scientist, as a person of faith, but for the rest of us struggling with where we are right now.
Yeah, so what I love about this verse, and I mentioned this in the book, I mentioned my upbringing in the Baptist church and how one thing I learned growing up in the Baptist church was that God so loved the world. And for me as a child, I was fascinated by natural history and dinosaurs and all this. And for me, the world included all that stuff. It wasn't, the verse didn't say, for God so loved you and me, or God so loved human beings or people. It says God loved the world. And to me, of course, that means everything. So God's love is truly universal. I believe that. But at the same time, you and I, us today, are part of that world that God loves. And so there's in this, by choosing the word the world, I see in that not only sort of a universal part of God's love, but a very specific aspect of God's love that is finely tuned to me, to you, to David, to our church community, to Decatur. It's tuned to every level. And so God's love is as complete and as perfect for you as it is for the cosmos, the whole world. And there's you're not left out. You're part of that. I'm part of that. We, importantly these days, we are part of that.
Yeah.
And so, I feel like it's universal, but also very particular.
Well, especially for right now. And so I want to focus in, make a segue, for God so loved the world that whosoever, the King James rendition, this is such a great word, whosoever.
Whosoever.
So you've touched on that now, that I think this is a time when it's very natural for many of us to be thinking, I don't feel loved. I feel lonely. A lot of our congregation is very isolated right now. And in fact, that's the requirement. We're all supposed to be keeping our social distance and remain isolated to remain safe, which is really sad for a lot of people, especially those of us that are accustomed to being together several times a week and interacting in a sense of community. This idea of loving and being loved and knowing and being known is really difficult right now. So this idea of whosoever, I can't emphasize enough, and Paul has touched on it, the fact that we're in this all-encompassing love of God in a way that is really hard to put into words. So I love the way the Gospel of John flows, and I want to illustrate this. John, in many ways, tries to describe God's love in words, telling the story of Jesus as he does with Nicodemus, and then following with the very next chapter in the woman at the well. And I want to illustrate how this word whosoever, I think very creatively, is emphasized in another subtle way that often passes by many of us. And so you're going to see a slide come on the screen in just a moment to help us walk through and compare and contrast these two stories. John 3:16 is right smack in the middle of these two stories. The first story is we've covered in detail, the story of Nicodemus and coming to Jesus by night. The second story we're not going to cover in as much detail, but I want to hit some highlights to offer the comparison and contrast that I think is so important in the way the Gospel of John works. So in the middle, we've got this, for God so loved the world that whosoever. And the illustration I think that John is very intentionally using is the contrast between Nicodemus, who he is, what he represents, even how he interacts with Jesus, in contrast with the woman at the well, sometimes known as the woman of Samaria. So with this slide that's coming up on the screen, I'd like to illustrate the very intentional usage where I'll walk through and give you the characteristics of Nicodemus that emerge as we unpack this third chapter. Nicodemus, he comes to Jesus by night. He's a man. He has a name. He comes to Jesus. He has a good reputation. He's well-connected. He's wealthy. He's an insider. He's powerful. He has an eventual resolution in his relationship with faith, and he stays private. Now, we contrast that as we move through this woman of Samaria, or the woman at the well. While Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night, she is confronted by Jesus at noon. He's a man. She's a woman. He has a name. She has no name. He comes to Jesus. Jesus comes to her. Nicodemus has a good reputation. She has a bad reputation. Nicodemus is well-connected. She is disconnected. He's wealthy. She's poor. He's an insider. She's an outsider. He's powerful. She's powerless. His story has an eventual resolution. Her story has an immediate resolution. He chooses to stay private. She goes public. This is not coincidental. This is John's way, I think, of emphasizing the whosoever. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, brothers and sisters, in these very difficult times, it's our hope that you really understand the breadth and depth of this verse, the power of these words, the beauty of our faith, and the really poetic way John weaves this together with this John 3:16 as the center of this incredible bookending of the story of Nicodemus and the story of the woman at the well. It can be that you may be powerful, well-connected, and wealthy today, or it may be that you feel like you are nobody and you're completely disconnected. Whatever end of the spectrum you feel like you're on, John 3:16 sits at the center of all our lives and is good news for everyone. Bless you. Thank you for being with us today. And remember, God loves the world and God loves you. Amen.